I don't even know how it lead into this one following that last piece of shit.
All hail the king.
All right, we'll use that.
Hail to the king, baby.
Oh my god, a Bruce Campbell movie or a cameo in this movie, it would have been fucking hysterical because it would have
Imagine
fit
him
the
as
vibe perfect.
Imagine him as John C. Reilly.
No, John C. Reilly did too good.
And now, our feature presentation.
So, welcome back to Road Trip Cinema. I'm your host today, Saeed, with
John Rhodes, the Monster Hunter.
And today we're covering Kong Skull Island.
Fuck yes.
I remember seeing this in theaters, and I was expecting essentially a King Kong remake. So I remember leaving the theater kind of annoyed, because I was expecting one thing, got something completely different. And in subsequent watches, I've watched this movie quite a few times since. This is a fucking good movie.
I love this movie. I saw this in theaters too, and I was hesitant. It looked kind of dumb. I remember, you know, just the advertisements weren't selling it that well, I didn't think.
Mm-hmm.
But then I took the chance. I went and saw it, and I loved it. I loved it even then.
It almost toes the line of, like, dumb and cheesy and, like, brilliant. Because it's almost a satire, of the whole Vietnam era films, like your Apocalypse Nows and Platoons and all that. They play, what's it, Creedence Clearwater Revival, like
CCR.
Three or four times through the movie. Like,
oh.
It's almost a satire of that whole film genre.
Oh my god, like, the fucking music drops we get in this, incredible. I can't even imagine how much they paid just on that. Sabbath, CCR, the Stooges, but I mean, just...
It works so well, though. It's
yes.
Perfect. The cast, it's insane how many people they got for this movie. Like, first of all, you got Tom Hiddleston as your main lead, Brie Larson.
Who was just off from winning an Oscar.
Yeah. Like, you have Oscar winners all through this movie. And then you also have Sam Jackson as your kind of secret antagonist. There's not really another antagonist besides the skull crawler queen thing, but he plays a military psycho perfectly. John C. Reilly is the World War II pilot crash landed there
the
and
comic
stuck
relief.
There. Love him. He's fantastic. Perfect.
Well, I think they kind of learned from their mistakes from last time.
Oh, how could I fucking forget John Goodman?
Oh my god,
also phenomenal. That dude doesn't miss in movies.
Yeah, but...
I specified movies.
Yeah. I want to tie back real quick. They fixed so much because, like, we were bitching because it's a Godzilla film and you don't see him. Within the first, 2 minutes of screen time, we see Kong.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't shy away from it.
No, it's like you open with a dude falling out of the sky, and then automatically there's a fight right away to the death, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And then Kong, and then you just cut to black, and it's just like, what the fuck? You fixed everything right there. I'm comforted right away.
You set the perfect tone for what we're going into.
Yeah.
And that is, oh, this is just going to be balls to the wall nonsense. And it's the perfect level of nonsense.
Yes. And it looks great. That is the one thing I have to say about this. Like, I know we kept calling Nope spectacle, but visually, this film is a spectacle to behold, and I love it.
So last week you mentioned that Godzilla only has 11 minutes of screen time, but Kong has only like 15 in this movie. And I think that's almost padded because there's so many other interesting creatures on this island that they have to deal with that it's like, okay, there's a lot going on here. We don't need Kong the entire time.
Right.
Like, the movie's not just called Kong. It's Kong Skull Island.
Mm-hmm.
So to see all these other creatures is like Skull Island come to life.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's in the tradition of Kong because even back in 1933 with his first one, the island is the terror, and there's just monsters fucking everywhere. And that's another thing that I have to give this film credit for, is it references that. Yes, it's not the tired, well, it's tired now story of Kong of Beauty and the Beast. And it's not that. You're not going to get that. But it has so many references to that, like the Skull Crawlers is based off from a monster in Kong. The original King Kong, 1933, has a two-legged monster just like that. And the only reason it's two-legged is because they broke the prop and had to just use it that way.
They don't go as far as, like, the whole Beauty and the Beast thing, but Kong still has that moment with Brie Larson towards the end of the film. He has to, like, save her and, like, pull her out of the water and everything. But it's not, like, this weird obsession romance they do in the other ones. This one is very much like a, hey, you've been kind, and I've seen you were trying to help the animals, so I'll help you real quick.
Right, and I think that's the thing that they totally get right about this is, like, Godzilla was supposed to be a protector in the last one. And I guess I kind of felt that because he's just fighting the antagonist. But this one, you totally get that he is the guardian, like, of the island.
Exactly. He is there to protect the natural life, and the Skullcrawlers are almost like an invasive species.
Right.
That he's at war with.
Yeah, and you get the backstory that they're the ones that killed his parents, and, you know, that's his whole job, and he has taken on the guardian and oversees, like, protecting the wildlife and the native tribe on this island. Mm-hmm. And for once in a Kong movie, they do not go with the Oogie Boogie tribes people in this at all. They don't dumb it down.
It's like, kind of weirdly respectful.
Yes.
Like, they are just a natural tribe there, and they don't ever treat them as, like, crazy, scary tribesmen. They're just, like, a tribe of people that live there and live by their ways.
Right, and if you go and watch any of the other ones, 1933, it's kind of just blatant Oogie Boogie. They're going to come and steal the pretty white woman.
Yeah, very racist depictions.
Yeah, even the 70s is still that way. And, you know, for everyone that blows Peter Jackson's indulgent three-hour bullshit of Kong, the tribes are even more racist. They're almost like fucking orcs. It's like, what are you doing?
It is. I love that movie, but it is, like, in a rewatch, I see that. I'm like, maybe you should have bowed back on that bit a bit.
Yeah, 3 fucking hours. I don't get everyone. It's like, hey, it's so good. Fuck you. I'll watch 1933 and be done in an hour and 20 minutes.
I would love to compare those two. I haven't watched both of them back to back. But Skull Island. Visually, beautiful.
Oh my god. Like, some of the shots just feel like live-action posters. Like, screen grabs that you would get for backgrounds and posters. And
well, like that shot of Kong immediately after he throws the tree at the first helicopter. Oh, and he's, like, silhouetted on that Vietnam-era sunset thing kind of going on with the helicopters moving in. Gorgeous.
Well, we're talking about that, too. And one thing I really have to give this film credit for is it almost has that 1970s kind of sepia look to it, because we're talking sunsets and everything, and every time it looks like footage from back then, but it's updated, it's crisp, and at no point are you just like, oh, this looks like shit. It looks great, but somehow they made it feel like it's period piece for someone who even consumes a lot of that shit. Whatever reason, the 70s had this sepia look to it.
No, I understand what you mean. I think that was almost a style of filmmaking. I mean, a lot of those movies and stuff set in the Vietnam era have this look of orange sunset, these bright greens all over for the forests of Vietnam and such. And then it's almost supposed to compare, like, the napalm strikes to the orange sunset. Like, it's supposed to be, like, the power of God wiping out people for no reason. Like, there's always that kind of message going on, all this anti-war, and to have this whole expedition led by a military team who just gets obliterated in seconds.
Oh my god. Well, we can't skip over. I like the fact that we already talked about the introduction of the World War II pilots, but I like that we go to, you know, John Goodman just trying to get funding to keep Monarch open to go to this mysterious island that they just discovered. And the only way they can go is convincing a senator they're just going to rape the island of its natural resources and piggybacking with the military.
Did not shy away from that at all. Like, we have a very different purpose, but here's how we trick these people with money to help us. Destroy the world. Got it.
And then, like, you get everything you need from these characters very quickly. We're introduced to Sam Jackson and his military group. There's a bunch of them. And they all do kind of have character, though. We don't get a lot of time with all of them, but we kind of understand who they are. Like, even the grizzled veteran, and then, you know, you're sure you're good captain. And you could see how reluctant Sam Jackson is to go home, to give up on the fight. Yeah,
to make peace.
Yeah.
Because that's not his lifestyle. He wants the fight. He wants war. They'll do whatever. I mean, fighting a big monkey? Let's fucking do it, sure.
Yeah, I think what it is like, he can't believe we're giving up.
Yeah.
We can win this.
Because Vietnam was a defeat, as specified by Brie Larson's character, and he can't accept that.
Yeah.
He can't accept that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
So just fucking keep going until we win, or die.
Exactly, yeah. And you get that right away. And then we're introduced to, can't remember the character name, Tom Hiddleston.
Conrad.
Is it Conrad?
I'm pretty sure it's
Conrad. Okay. In a cool
Saigon bar.
Yeah. And you get everything you need. He's a fucking badass. He's a tracker. You know, he's fucked up from war. You meet Brie Larson, who's an anti-war photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is great. And all of these people are actually giving a fuck.
Yeah. You compare it to Godzilla 2014, and it's like, all these people really were having a fucking good time. And I think it's because it's more of an ensemble rather than... Like, yeah, these characters go off and do this. These characters go to... These characters, for the most part, are usually together.
Yeah, you get two distinct groups once they're on the island. I mean, you get Carter and Mannix? Is that Brie Larson's name?
Oh, I can't even remember.
Whatever. I mean, she's believed to be a male until she shows up. Whatever. And then a couple of the soldier scientists are with them, and they end up finding John C. Reilly.
It's almost like...
And then
the younger group versus the older group.
Yeah, and then you have... Actually, yeah, that is a great point.
Like, John Goodman, Sam Jackson, and then, like, the more older grizzled soldiers. Yeah. And then you have Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, and the younger soldiers and scientists. So it's...
Minus
it's almost,
John C. Reilly.
Yeah, I mean, they find him. I wouldn't say he's initially part of the group.
Right. Fuck, I never thought of that. That is
occurred
great.
To me while I thought about it when we were talking about the two distinct groups. I was like, oh, fuck, they really are kind of, like, two different... types of thinking, because John Goodman is almost an antagonist in a way by the end, where his whole thing is just, I've lied, I cheated my way here, I'm just going to keep doing that to get what I want. Sam Jackson's is, I lie and cheat to get my victory. I'm like, for the most part, our antagonists are the older guys, really. Yeah.
Well, I also like this little tidbit before I even forget it, that John Goodman is so determined to prove that monsters are real. Because he had an encounter with Godzilla on some destroyer in World War II. I love that aspect.
The Monarch series actually explores that.
Oh, okay.
His character is not quite a lead, but John Goodman has a few moments in the show at the very start of the show. You really only filmed one scene for it. But it's an extension of Skull Island, where it's him running off to a cliff edge, and he's being chased by these crab things. And he takes his document, like his folder of documents for Monarch, throws it in the ocean and then runs back around and gets killed by Skull Crawlers when he meets up with everybody again. But the show follows him much younger, where he meets Wyatt Russell's character, which is Kurt Russell's who plays the same character, and he meets them out in the jungle where they find the boat that he was on, the only survivor, just out in the middle of a field. And they're like, how the fuck could this even get here? And he's kind of like, dude, I saw some crazy fucking shit, alright? And this is like years later. He's come back to try and find it, because he obviously got off the ship in the ocean. So he's come back, found the ship, and he's one of the founding members of Monarch because of this.
Right. I love that little backstory. And it's just seconds. Mm-hmm. Just seconds. And, you know, I like that they actually take the time, and granted, it's fleeting, but all the character motivations make sense.
They all feel unique. Because, like, I forget the soldier's name, the younger soldier guy that hangs out with him. He turns on Sam Jackson towards the end in the third act. He turns on him because he's like, all right, this is fucked up. I'm just trying to get out of here alive, and I'm not going to fight a monkey for no reason.
Right. This isn't my war.
Right.
Basically another Vietnam
almost like,
parallel.
Yeah, Vietnam deserter.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to point out, yes, we do have these distinct groups, and it's old versus new, but they also have distinctly different experiences on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the young group meets a giant wildebeest thing.
Like and buffalo then, thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then they meet the native tribe, the Iwi, and, like, they have a nice, peaceful kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And then the soldiers keep getting terrorized by these things, and it's just like, all my friends are dead, all my men are dead, these things keep trying to kill us, fuck this island, we're going to kill this giant ape and get off and get our revenge. I get it. It makes sense. I can't say that, like, I would do the same, but logically for the characters, it makes sense.
The kills in this movie are incredible. They're impressive. God. Like, the one that always sticks out to me is the guy when they're in the bamboo forest, the soldier who's kind of looking around and realizes, like, some of these bamboo trees are moving. What the fuck? Looks up, sees the horror right before it spears him in the fucking mouth through his head. Like, the giant spider's leg just right through.
Yeah.
And then it tries to, like, pull up the one kid, and they're, like, cutting his tendrils off, and they're all cutting the legs off. It's, like, horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love all the monsters we get in this. They're so unique. They're so interesting. I mean, it's so well thought out. It's so fun. And that's the thing about this one. You're having fun the entire time with this. Mean,
even when it is, like, serious or terrifying, they'll cut in a quick joke or a quick... Well, and it's nothing that undercuts anything. It's usually, like, John C. Reilly, where he realizes, like, fuck, when they're all voting to, all right, let's go find Chapman, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, fuck, I almost made it out. And then he's just like, you're all gonna die here. Like,
you're a good group of men to die with.
They all have this serious, like, let's go rescue our soldier. And he's like, we're all gonna die. Sure.
Oh, well, another thing I like in the very beginning when Kong is initially attacking them, and he's attacking them because they're bombing his fucking island. He doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Well,
because he's the guardian of the island.
Yeah.
He feels some shit fucked up. He's like, are those fucking lizards coming out of the ground right now? Like, what's going on?
That's the thing. Like, they even tell us later, he's so fucking mad at the soldiers because, yeah, they are bombing, but it's like seismic charges, like in Jurassic Park, trying to get whatever scientific bullshit. But that's also waking up the skull crawlers.
Oh, it's opening, like, God, vents, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, God damn it, I have to go to work now, you motherfuckers. But I like a stupid joke where he's attacking the choppers, shaking the one, you see one of the soldiers falling into his mouth, quick cut to one of the scientists on the ground eating a sandwich. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is good. This is the tone I want.
So my daughter was watching with me, and she was actually, like, sat on my lap watching it with me, and she got fucking scared by some of the monsters. I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
This is some creepy shit. Yeah. This is fun. This is...
Well, we keep talking about, like, the monsters and stuff. What about that final battle with Kong and the Queen...
Skullcrawlers?
Yeah. Thing?
I thought that was so well done. The way you flip around and fly around, it's like... I've always been a big proponent of... A camera should always stay within where a human being could be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could argue, like, oh, you could be in a helicopter seeing that. Like, whatever, sure. But for that final fight, they make a point to follow the action rather than where a person would be. So you kind of lose the scale, but you're focusing on the fight itself, so it's fine.
Well, yes, I agree there. But I also think the fight itself is very compelling. It goes back and forth. And then on top of that, the humans actually have a part in it. Like, Kong's down, and Brie Larson shoots the skull crawler with a flare to give him just a second. And then, like, they don't have a big role, but they do fucking something instead of, like, Godzilla, where they're just like, oh shit, run!
Right.
And that's their whole point.
I want to touch again on the comedy in a serious moment, specifically with one of my favorite characters in this movie, and I forget his name, but the actor's name is Shea Whigham. He's the guy that, when they first crash, he's eating the beans, and they're like, "How can you eat?" And he's like,
"Oh, the grizzled.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm still going to be hungry. Why not?" He goes to sacrifice himself to save everybody, like, to give them a few more moments to get away, assuming the skull crawler's going to eat him. So he pulls all his fucking grenades, and he's like, "Yeah, come get me. Let's do it. Come get me." For it to just tail whip him into a mountain and blow up the side of the mountain instead.
Tail whips him miles away, and then he explodes. I love it. Yes. And it's still, like, played a dramatic moment, because all his friends are watching him in horror, like, well, don't do this.
Because they're also like, oh, fuck, it was for nothing. Like, it just this being kicked while they're down moment where they know they're losing the friend, but now it was for nothing, too. But the moment itself is really fucking funny.
I love it.
It's Yeah, I think it's even played for laughs. Like, it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's a serious moment, but they never take it way too seriously. Like, Godzilla took itself way too seriously, and it was never fun.
Never.
This movie is always fun.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay. We've been blowing this for, you know, 20-some minutes now. What would you rate it?
I would give this a 4.5 stars. I fucking loved it.
I completely agree. 4.5, that's nearly perfect. The only thing I can really put my thumb on to say could be improved, there's a little too many people.
I think that was necessary for them to whittle them down.
Yeah, yeah.
By the end, we have, like, what, 6?
Something like that. But I love this. And the thing that boggles my mind, having seen all of these now, how did they not hand this creative team the keys to the MonsterVerse?
Yeah, this is clearly like, oh, you guys should take this going
yes.
forward.
Why isn't this director doing the next one? Why isn't the writers like continuing on?
I haven't heard about this director before or after this movie. John Vaught Roberts, I think is how you say it. He did a fucking amazing job. And he went on this like internet press tour after the movie where it wasn't like he went on and did all the interviews with all the big celebrity, you know, television shows and all this. He went and, like, sat down with famous YouTubers and shit. Like, there's a show on YouTube called Honest Trailers, where he actually sat down with those guys after, because they raved about the movie, too. He sat down with them after, and was like, yeah, here's all the things we got to do that was so much fun. Like, just, he did fun stuff. He didn't just sit down and was like, yeah, you know, I thought about for the third act, I should do this. No, he's like,
the pathos of the character.
He's like, dude, this is a fucking monster movie. We're going to have fucking fun. Let's go for it.
Well, the thing that gets me is I did my research because I loved this.
Mm-hmm.
He was a visual effects guy. He's a director too, but he has a background in visual effects.
Right.
So like he understood the composition of this entire film,
but
he also fell completely in love with Vietnam and ended up moving there, which may be part of the problem, because this was filmed in Vietnam, fell in love with it, moved there. Mm-hmm. The only thing I've really seen that he's done since is he's made like 2 TV series. He's like project managed, whatever you want to say, 2 TV series. So
it's just incredible. And I, you know, it's not surprising to hear he was a visual effects guy first, because it seems like some of the best action directors today have this prior background. Like, if you look at Chad Stahelski, who did the John Wick movies, that dude was a stunt coordinator and stuntman with Keanu Reeves on The Matrix. You look at Shin Godzilla or Godzilla Minus One, both of those directors were not only also the director of their visual effects departments, but they were, you know, visual effects artists prior to. And those movies are both fantastic.
Like, yes.
These people that have these incredible skills prior to, and then use that to elevate their film, is where you want to be.
I also just think this guy had a great grasp on what this film should be.
Oh, for sure.
And the studios just didn't get it, and it shows next week.
Okay, let's jump into that then. So we'll be back with Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Sorry, Godzilla 2, King of the Monsters.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even mention the John C. Reilly epilogue. Like, the only epilogue you really get of the movie is...
Well, no, you get the post-credit scene.
What's the post-credit scene?
You didn't watch the post-credit scene?
I must not have.
Oh, my God. Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston's characters.
What do they do?
They're being interviewed by Monarch. Like, they're in this interrogation room, and they're all angry and yelling and stuff. And then the door opens, and the black scientist, the Chinese girl... come in.
Oh, the two younger scientists?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they lay out, like, portfolios, and they're just like, oh, he's not the only one, blah, blah, blah. Welcome to Monarch. Boom! Cut the credits. And it's just like...
So there's potential for more there.
Yeah.
Because those two are interesting. They're an interesting duo. Oh, I also didn't mention, I love that there's no romance in Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
The movie is like, why do we need a romantic subplot?
Well, also, how are you going to build an entire romance in 2 days? Right. Day and a half? Of fucking sheer terror where you're trying to stay alive. You're not going to be thinking like, God damn, she's pretty hot. You're going to be thinking, I hope I don't fucking die. Yeah. Maybe I'll talk to her afterwards.
Well, that's why the movie does well. Like, I think that was one of the holdbacks in Jurassic World. Like, for some reason, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are like, you know what? Let's kiss. I know there's dinosaurs all around us fucking attacking us, but yeah, let's have a real quick kiss.
Well, that's like, because Hollywood thinks we need that.
That's what I appreciated about this movie, though, is the fact that they're like, fuck that. We got other things to do. Like, let's get back to what's at the task at hand.
Oh yeah, you're right. The John C. Reilly like little epitaph. Because it's so bittersweet, and I love it.
It's like awesome. Fed throughout. It's almost like it's seeded. Like he mentions, dude, the only thing better than like the weird mush they were eating is like, if I could have a cold beer and a hot dog. That's all I want.
Right.
Or later, he's like, you know, your wife probably thinks you're dead. He's like, yeah, I've made my peace with that. Yeah,
I love where he's just like, I just want to see them again. He's like, I get that she's probably moved on, that she forgot could be married, about me.
Whatever, I just
want to see him again. Ah, God, it's so good.
And he plays it so well. John C. Reilly, I think, is my favorite part of that movie because he plays it so endearingly. He's not like, I'm grizzled and angry because I've been stuck here. He's like, I'm just fucking happy to still be alive. And the only thing that would make me truly happy in life is if I could see my family again.
Yeah.
He has a son he never got to see, 28-year-old son he never saw before.
Right, and the one scene we didn't even mention, one of my favorites, and I know it's dumb, but when, like, the gas grenades go off, Tom Hiddleston grabs the gas mask and the samurai sword, and it's like, this is dumb as shit, but it's fucking awesome.
So stupid, but it's like, I'm here for it.
Yeah, this is all what I need. Want.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. Gas grenades aren't green, but it looks fucking cool as shit. I love it.
It's like visually appealing. Yes. I just can't get enough.
So good.
But for that epilogue at the end, I thought about it when you were talking about how they made it look sepia and stuff. Mm. This is where they went all the way with like the
It's like 8mm ratio.
Yeah. So it's the silent him seeing his family again. He's all cleaned up and shaved, and his wife drops all of the shit he had or she had in her hands, and she just shocked. He has this brief moment where he and his son are like kind of crying together because they get to meet each other finally, and it's a really endearing moment. It's awesome. And then for it to just cut from the family stuff to him sitting on the couch, feet kicked up, beer and a hot dog, and he's
watching
just
baseball.
Yeah. He's just smiling, happy, and then it cuts.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and that was the last shit they shot, actually.
Good. I'm glad they had it.
Yeah.
The movie's all the better for it.
100% agreed. And boom, cut the credits.
You've arrived at your destination.